We begin the current daf, Masechta Bava Basra, daf Kuf Lamed Vav. Begin 6 lines down from the top of the Yamed. The Gemara continues in the next Mishnah, the series of the Mishnayis discussing the topic of our Perek of Yeshneichlin regarding the laws of inheritance, and specifically when somebody, in this case generally the father who's passing away, who decides to go ahead and divide it the way he wants to. Now our Mishnah talks in a related vein about Kaysim Nechas Levanam. If someone is writing over his assets to his sons, unlike the previous Mishnah is talking about a shchimer, a dying person, this Mishnah is talking about a healthy person who wants to get married to a woman. Now, he does not, however, want to have his assets indebted to his wife and her ksuba, because maybe the sons that he has from his first wife are going to lose out, because now his assets, which he wants to bequeath to them when he passes away, are going to be indebted to his new wife. So what he wants to do is that he wants to write over his assets already now to his sons, before he gets married, that they should get it after he passes away. But he wants to be able to still use it until he passes away. But he wants it to be owned by them. So what he has to do, it says the Mishnah, Tzarech sheyichtev mahayim al-acha, misa divre Behuda. Behuda says he has to write in the document that from today and after I pass away, my assets are yours, which that sounds like from today, the actual body of the properties is owned by you. But after my death, then the gift will be concluded, because then not only will you have the body, but you'll also have the papers, you'll have the utility of it too. But up until then, I get to use it, but the ownership of the body is yours, and therefore, when I marry this new woman, I don't have any assets for Ksuba to have control and have a lien on those properties. But however, according to Behuda, if he didn't write the words Mahayoyim from today, then actually he hasn't given his children anything. Because if it's only going to take effect La'acha Misa after he passes away, you cannot gift something after death. Because at that moment when he's dead, he doesn't have any shares in it. You lose all your rights when you pass away to be able to imakne to his children. So if you want to do this, you write Mahayoyim La'acha Misa. Rabbi Yisrael Me'in Yitzarach, he disagrees. He says you don't have to write the words Mahayoyim from today. Even without writing from today, it's taking effect from today for the goof of the payers, from the goof of the properties, and then the payers will be la'acham. He says, the Gemara will explain the reasoning for Rabbi Yisi. Now, regarding such a case that we described in the Reisha, says the Mishnah, ha'kaisim nechasav lebenoi la'acham ha'isav. So if someone does write his assets to his son to take effect after that he dies, meaning from today and after that he dies, so as we said, it's somewhere split in the middle, so the Mishnah tells us, Ha'av eino yochel limkor, so the father can't sell these properties, m'neishin ksuvin leben, because they're already written over, as we said, the body is already owned by the son. But v'haben eino yochel limkor, now so too the son can't sell, m'neishin b'shus ha'av, because they're still in the domain of the father, because the father has the rights and the ownership of the utility of it. So says the Mishnah, if machar av, if the father does sell it, mechur matriyamis, it's only sold up until the point that he dies, because what's being sold is the payers, is the utility which the father still owns. But once he's dead, then the child gets everything as he had the goof already, and now he gets the payers. Machar ben, if the son sold it, in lekech ben klum matriyamis av, the consumer is not going to have anything until the father passed away, because although the son owns the property already, but the father has all practical purposes, all utility of it, and therefore the consumer is not going to get anything until the father passes away. Now the Gemara asks on the halacha of the Reisha of a Mishnah of Rabbi Yehuda that said, so if you want to get out of this, you write Mehayom Elachar Misa. So the kids have it already, but the father still has the utility, so there's no lien of the wife's ksuba on those properties. On that, as the Gemara, V'chikasim Hayom Elachar Misa Mayhava, what does it help if he writes that the gift that he's giving to his son should take effect from today and after that I die, my Ava. Hatzinan, we learn in the Mishnah Masechet Gittin that says the same type of terminology, and we see that it doesn't work the way our Mishnah is saying. The Mishnah there says that if someone is divorcing his wife, Mehayoyim ul'achamisa, from today and after I pass away, says the Mishnah, get ve'ena get. It's a get, but it's not a get. Why? Meaning because we're in doubt. Maybe what he meant to say was, when he says Mehayoyim ul'achamisa, maybe he meant to say that from today it should be a get if I die, which, yeah, that would be taking effect from now. Or maybe he was backing out. He was actually retracting, and he was saying, no, I know I said Mahayim no la'achar misa. And the problem with that is that a get cannot take effect after a person is dead already. So therefore, it says the Mishnah Masechet Gittin, she's a suffering migareshes. She's doubtfully divorced. Maybe it's a get, but maybe it's not a get. And therefore, the ramification would be if, let's say, after she got this maybe get from this husband, she then stretched out her hand, received kiddushin from another man, she would need a get from both of them, because we're not sure if she was divorced and thus got engaged to this other man or not. So she would need a get from both. Moreover, says the Mishnah, says this get in the maze, and if this husband dies without any children, so then chiletzis, she would need to have chalitza from his brother, because maybe it was not a get and she's a widow without any children. But neither would the brother-in-law be able to do yibum, because maybe it was a get. And if it was a get, so she was already divorced from her husband, and it would come out that her brother-in-law is marrying his brother's divorcee, which is a chiv karth. So, says the Gemara, we see that the terminology of Yom HaChamisa is a doubtful terminology. As we see by the get, when he says, from today, we don't know, is it a tanai, that, oh, it, and if I die after I die, then is a get from today? Or is it a retraction? And therefore, it's not a get. So therefore, as the Gemara, the same thing should be over here in the Halacha of Mishnah. It should be a doubtful gift, and the children should not acquire, because when it's a safek, I'm waiting to make a barrel of a raya. So why are we saying my Yom HaChamisa is a gift in two stages, and it's for sure a gift? Why? Say my Yom HaChamisa is, we're not sure. Is he retracting, and therefore it's not a gift because he can't give after? Or is it a gift because he was saying that, yeah, if I die, if and when I die, then it's a gift from today. But it's a suffix, and therefore it shouldn't work. And I think Moses says, no, it's different. Hasam, over there in that Mishnah Masechet, it's getting by the divorce document, by the get, there it's not possible to interpret it the way we're saying in our Mishnah, that it's two different things, that there's a gift of Hayyim and a gift of Lachar Misa, to say that, oh, he was cutting up the get into two stages. It's a partial get from today, and the second phase of it is going to be partial after I die. You can't say that by get. A get is a total krisis. It either is or it isn't. In contrast to what we're saying in our Mishnah regarding the gifting of a piece of land. So therefore, over there by get, misafkalon. So we have no other way of interpreting. What does it mean by Yom HaChamisa? Can't be two stages. So there we're in doubt. Itanahava, we weren't sure if it's a stipulation, meaning yes, I want the get to be from today if and when after I die. Ichazarahava, or we weren't sure maybe it's not a get, and it was a retraction to take effect after he dies, which cannot take effect. That's why it's a suffix gerishin. Avalhacha, but over here in the halacha of our Mishnah, you could explain that both things are two stages. And then Hacha Karmalei, this is what he was telling to his sons. Gufa koni mahayoyim, there's two stages. The property itself you acquire from today. And payroll, achamisa, and the utility, the produce, that you'll acquire after I die. And since you could say that, we don't say that his intention was for a stipulation or for retraction. To the contrary, it makes more sense to interpret it that was piece by piece. He said, mahayoyim alachamisa, it's two stages. And that's why the Rebbe Yehuda said in our Mishnah that that's going to be a valid way of gifting it, but still for the father being able to hold on to the actual utility of it until the day that he dies. Now, on that day, Mishnah had said, he disagreed. He says, no, that you don't have to write Mahayim Alachamisa. You could just say that I'm giving, you could write on the document that I want this to be yours after I die. And although Matoni cannot take effect after the person's death, it will take effect from today, Alachamisa. So the Gemara brings an incident which will illustrate this, the reasoning, the rationale of Rabbi Yisi's halacha. Rabbi Barabu Chalosh, Rabbi Barabu was ill. Al Gabe Rav Hun Rav Nachman. Rav Hun Rav Nachman went to visit him. Amal Rav Hun Rav Nachman. So Rav Hun said to Rav Nachman before they went in, Bo Yiminei, halacha Rav Yisi or ain halacha Rav Yisi. Told him, do me a favor, ask him regarding this halacha of our Mishnah, if the halacha falls with Rav Yisi or not. Meaning that one would not have to write Mahayoyim, like Rav Yehuda had said. So Amalei, so Nachman said to Rav Huna, "Taimed Rabbi Yisi lo yidana." I don't even know the reasoning of Rabbi Yisi. Like, why wouldn't you have to write Mahayoyim? He's just saying La'achar Misa. Why should it take effect? Halacha Yibayim. I'm going to ask him to halacha falls like him. I don't even know that. I don't understand his opinion even. So Amalei, Rav Huna said to him, "Look, at Bayiminei I halacha lo. Don't worry. Just follow what I'm telling you. You ask him if the halacha follows him or not. V'taimed anu amin halacha, and I'll tell you already what the reasoning is." So when they came in, so Bayiminei Rav Nachman asked him. And Amalei and Rabbi Barabu responded. He says, "Hachi Amar Rav, this is what Rav said. Halacha Rabbi Yisi, halacha falls to Rabbi Yisi. Even if you don't write Mahayim, it will take effect from Mahayim Alachamisa." So Basa did Nafku after they left. So Amalei, Rav Huna said to Rav Nachman, "I'll tell you. Hainu Tamid Rabbi Yisi. This is the reasoning of Rabbi Yisi. The Amar, because he says Zmanu Shel Shtar, the date of the document, which in the beginning of the document it's written." On this day of this week, that person told us, be the witnesses for us. And we went and we acquired from that person to his sons that should take effect after that he dies. the dating of the document, Mechiach Lov, proved that it's from that date that the gifting was already starting. Because if you don't say that, then why exactly would he have written a date on that document? Obviously, it's because he wanted partial of the haknah, of the gifting, to take effect from the date that it was written. It says Rashbam, actually that's halacha like Rabbi Yossi, where even if it was written in the document that it should take effect la'achar misa, the child is going to be kaina, even though he didn't write mahayayim, because as we said, Rav says, halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, because the dating saying that there's something taking effect today, because if not, the date has no significance whatsoever. It's not for any order of acquisition, because it's only taking effect after Misa. Obviously, it's saying that no, something is happening today. What? The actual guf, and the peiros, which is the utility of it, is what's happening la'achar Misa. Says the Gemara Tanim Halacha, similar in the Braisa. Rabbi Yisrael, he says, ain it tzarach, you don't have to write mehayim, because the date of the document proves that it should take effect from today, ula'achar Misa. And again, that would be the option if he doesn't want it to be indebted to his new wife. He could just write La'acha Misa, but it's already starting according to Rabbi Yisi Mahayin. Now, regarding this Machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yisi, the Gemara says, B'yimini Ravim Rav Nachman, says, B'hakno, regarding a document that was written in it, that there was a kinyan that was taken effect by the witnesses for the recipient, Mahu, what would Halacha be over there? Would Rabbi Yehuda still disagree and say that you have to write Mahayim? Now, the reason for this questioning is because you could say, and as we'll see, there are some opinions like that, that regarding a Shtar Matana, where, in other words, the document is saying that there was a Kinyan. And the reasoning for the question is because you could say that it's only regarding a Shtar Matana without a Kinyan, meaning that you're actually doing the Kinyan by handing over the Shtar. That's the actual acquisition. That's where they had the Machlekes in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yisi and Rabbi Yehuda. Where, for example, if let's say someone wrote in the document that my field is gifted to you after I die, and he gives him the document with the Gemara says elsewhere that Karka is acquired in three different ways. Kesef, Shtar, or Chazaka, which means say the actual Kinyan is the handing over the Shtar. That's where that Kinyan, well, when is that taking effect? He's saying it should take effect la'achar Misa. That's where Rabbi Yehuda says, okay, you have to write Mahayim. But the Gemara's question is, Rav's question is, what's if, let's say, the document is actually says that there was a Kinyan? It's saying that the witnesses says that we did a Kinyan, and on that is what they're writing the document. And on that, it's saying it should take effect la'achar Misa. Would that be said that that is taking effect Mahayim, even though he didn't write Mahayim? Because again, there, the acquisition was done already by the witnesses, and that we would say that's really done. When you're doing the kinyan through the shtar, which doesn't have a kinyan in the document itself, it's the document that's making the kinyan. Maybe there, that's where he holds that kinyan is only going to be done la'achar misa. But when you have, like what the Gemara is asking about Kna, that it's saying that in the document the witness says we did a kinyan, that already would be taking effect from today, even according to Yehuda, even if you don't say mahayim. So Amalei, so Rav Nachman responded, and he says, yes, b'hakno, ein tzarach. When the actual document has the kinyan inside of it, the witness has said that we did a kinyan to acquire it for the recipient, well, that's already taking effect from today, that you don't have to write mahayim. It's only when the handing over the document is a kinyan, that which is given to the recipient, that he's saying that should be la'achar misa, that would have to say mahayim. Now, Rav Papi, he disagrees. He says, ikka aknisa tzarach. There are certain documents of kinyan that would require to say mahayim, and some that would not require. What's the understanding? The understanding is that they what they used to do, and they would write a document that has in it a kinyan, as we said, this other type of shtar, hakna, which mentions in it that a kinyan was done, it would mention two times the concept of a kinyan. Once in the beginning of the document, where they would write as follows. They would write, and this is what he told us. I want you to be witnesses for me, and to acquire from me, meaning that what I want to give to this recipient, and I want you to write it, I want you to sign it, that's what's called akniye, where in the document it writes that he said, as in the command form, I want you to acquire it for this person, where he's makna to the witnesses through a kinyan of sudr to acquire for the recipient. Now, once it also says, a second time, in the end of the document, where they write, oh, that we acquired from that person for that other person, whatever, like it was written, and as we already wrote in this document, where, as we find this concept in the Gemara Beget Pashat, Kuf Samach Alfa Mabez, where this idea that you have to repeat the whole idea of the document in the last line of the document. So therefore, says Rav Papi, the following difference. If it says in the beginning of the document, Akneyei, which is a term of like a command, where it's writing that he told us to acquire for this other person, and at the end of the document it says, Rekanina Minei, and that we acquired from him, that is what's called Yipu Kayach. That's adding strength to the recipient, which it sounds like that there was two kinyanim. There's one idea about where it's saying in the beginning of the document that he was Makna, and then there's also at the end that's saying that, and we were acquired from him. Well, that's superfluous, because obviously, if he told us to be kainem, we're writing that we did it, obviously it's that we acquired it. So why writing at the end that we acquired it? It's to say that the kinyan was even taking effect from today. Says Rav Papi, that's where Rabbi Huda would agree, that Leitzarach, in that situation, you don't have to write that it took effect mahayim, because from the extra terminology of kinyan, obviously it took effect from today. But if it was the other way around, in the beginning of the document, they wrote, Kenina minei, it says in the beginning, that we acquired from him for the recipient. Now, at the end of the document, it says, Va'aknie, that he told us to go ahead and do this kinyan. That actually sounds like that there was only one kinyan, because it sounds like it's actually explaining. When it says in the beginning of the document that we acquired from him, then it's coming to explain, well, how? Who gave us rights to acquire for that recipient? That the end of the document is clarifying and saying, oh, because he told us to go ahead and to acquire for that person. So then says Rav Papi, then Tzarach, in such a situation that there's no like two kinyonim, it's only like one kinyon, so it wouldn't be indicative that it was from today, then you would have to write Mahayim Alachamisa, even though it's a Shtar HaKanah, according to Rabbi Huda. Now, Maskev Lor of Chanina Misturi asks on this interpretation of Rav Papi. He says, Mika Midi, is it possible that there should be such a thing? The Anan Lo Yedinan, we the judges, we the Rabbanim, we don't know, meaning the majority of the sages are not so proficient to differentiate and discern that if it depends, if it said Akne in the beginning and Kanina Mini at the end, oh, well, that's going to be Mehayoyim, even though it doesn't say Mehayoyim. But if it's the other way around, then it's not, we don't know. The Safri Yadin, you're telling us that the scribes, that they know, and they're going to say, oh, that was what our intention was, and therefore, in such a situation, you're not going to have to write Mehayoyim? How can you say such a fine-tuned interpretation that's going to be the difference in documents when scribes obviously don't know this? But says the Gemara, Sha'alunu L'Sifri D'Abaye B'Yad, they actually asked the scribes of the court of Abaye, and they did know the difference. Well, L'Safri D'Rav B'Yad, they also asked the scribes of Rav, and they knew that, so therefore Rav Papi's differentiation is not so difficult, as we see that is the intention of the scribes and the witnesses, depending on the terminology of the wording in the document. Now, Rav Huna B'Rid of Yeshua, he says, Bain Akneye Vekanina Mene. Whether if the first thing that was written in the document was that he told them to acquire and they did acquire for the recipient, or Bain Kanina Mene Vakne, whether the other way around, when the first it says that we acquired from him and then it says that he told us to acquire, he says, Loitzarach. He says, no. He says, like Rav Nachman, that any Shtaharkna, you don't have to write Mehayim. Now, however, Ubeduchron Pisgami, the Havaban Panabu, when they write that we recall the words that were said in front of us, which is a document of testimony without a kinyan written in it. It's just a recollection, but it's not a recollection of an actual kinyan. That's where Pligi, that's where they had this machlokes, which is regarding, okay, so there was no shtar haknah. That's where Yehuda says you have to write mahayim. But if there's a shtar haknah, which then we would assume, no matter what the wording was, that if they're saying we did this kinyan, that it should take effect even from today, even if it wasn't written mahayim. Amrav Kahana, he says, Amrit l'shmaiti kamei Rav Zvid min Ardo. He says, I said over this whole sugi that we just quoted before, in front of Rav Zvid min Ardo, v'amali, and he said to me, Atun hachem asnitullah. That's how you taught this whole discussion, that it all started off with a question that Rav had from Rav Nachman. Anan hachem asnitullah. We have it actually in the direct. It wasn't a question. Amr Rav, Amr Rav Nachman. Rav said name Rav Nachman. Not that he asked Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman responded to him. No, clearly, Bakno in a tzarach, that Rav said in the name of Nachman that when it's a shtar Bakno, that a kinyan is written that was done by the witnesses to merit it for the recipient, you don't need Bein Akniye, Bekinyan Menei, whether if it said first that he said to acquire and they wrote at the end that we acquired from him, Bein Kinyan Menei, Bakniye, whether it says first that we acquired from him and then it says then and because he had told us to. Either way, Loi Tzarach, you don't have to write Mayim Alachat Misa, and that's how, says Rashbam, we paskin, that even according to Yehuda, you don't have to write Mahayim if it's a document that has a kinyan written in it. But rather, Beduchron Piskomi, to have a bampon, the plague, the whole machlekes between them, and our Mishnah was when they just say, oh, that we recall the words that were said in front of us, but just that they're saying that this is what he had said, that this gift should take effect lachamisa, that's what Rabbi Yehuda says. If you didn't write mayayim, then it's not going to take effect from today. If you wanted to take effect from today, you have to write mayayim lachamisa, whereas Rabbi Yossi said, you don't have to, because as we said before, zman shashtar machich alav, it proves that part of it should be taking effect from today by just writing a date in the document. Then the Mishnah continued on the second half and said, regarding this case that we described, HaKaisav Nechasav Lebenai. If someone writes his properties to his son, or for that practical purpose, any other person, that it should take effect La'achar Maisai, after that he passes away, meaning the case of the Reisha, which, yeah, according to Reb Yisi, you don't have to write Ma'ayim, but according to Reb Yehuda, it would be the case of Ma'ayim La'achar Misa, that it should take effect from today and after I die. So that's what the Mishnah had said, that Ha'avei Neyoch Limker. It said that the father can't sell to someone else the body and the payers totally, because, as we said, it's already written over to the son, the body from today, from Mahayoyim, and the payers are his for after the father's death. Moreover, as the Mishnah said, Habeinei Neyochalimka, the son can't sell totally when the father's still alive, because as the Mishnah said, Memneishim B'Shusab, because they're still in the domain of the father, where he has the right to eat the payers right now. However, with the two of them, then they can make a total sale, because the father could sell the payers and the son could sell the body. Now, the Mishnah said, if Machar Av, if the father did sell unspecified these properties, so then they are sold to the consumer, at least for its utility, until the father dies. But when the father dies, then the son will take not only the body that he always had, but also the payers, whether him or whether someone that comes from his rights, meaning his inheritors of, let's say, he's dead at that point. Now, it doesn't make a difference if the father died while the son was still alive, or even if the son died while the father was still alive. The payers that the father sold, is that was sold until he died. But the actual body was already acquired totally to the son from that moment when he wrote Mahayim al-Achamisa. And therefore, when the son dies and then afterwards the father, then the son's own sons, they will inherit him. The Mishnah then said, Machra ben, if the son sold when the father was still alive, so then the consumer does not have the payers until the father passed away, because the consumer is no stronger than the son himself, which the son doesn't get the payers until his father dies. But when the father dies, then the consumer then gets the body which the son already sold him, and the payers which takes effect after the father's death. Now, but this is only talking about if at the time of the father's death, the son who had sold it to this guy is still alive. But if the son died, and then afterwards the father died, that's the machlikas the Gemara is going to discuss right now, if the lekeach will acquire it or not. As the Gemara says, Itmar, we learned. Machar haben b'chaya av. If the son sold these properties which the father had gifted to him, mahayim alachamisa, which means again that the son has the body, but the father still has the payers. So the son sold it while the father was still alive. Umeis haben b'chaya av. And actually the son died while the father was still alive. So now we have machlikas as we continue to Amud Beis. Amr b'yechan, and he says, lekan lekech, he says, the lekech actually will not acquire, even when the father passes away afterwards, the lekech will not acquire those properties. Why? Because what comes out, revealed, that these properties were never fit to come to the son. And actually in halacha, it's going to go back to the inheritors of the father. Now, as Rashbam actually clarifies, he says, if this son had not sold it when the father was still alive, Rabbi Yechanan would agree that even if the son dies first, and then the father dies, even so, the inheritors of the son would inherit the gift, and not the inheritors of the father. But since the son sold it, thus he removed himself from the moment that he sold it from these properties. And moreover, since it never came to him, because he died before his father died, he never got it to be able to merit it to the lekeach, who's only coming from his rights. So therefore, says Rabbi Yechanan, in this case where he sold it, and therefore he's out of the picture before the father even died, he never got it, and therefore he never had what to give up to Lekeach, and even when the father dies, Lekeach won't get it. Rish Lakish HaMakan Lekeach. Rish Lakish, however, says, no, Lekeach, after the father's death, will acquire what he had bought from the son when the son had sold it while the father was still alive, even though the son died before the father died. Now, in Perek HaChevel and Baba Kama, the Gemara explains their Machlekes, which our Gemara also says the similar type of interpretation. The Gemara explains, Rebichan Amar Lekan Lekeach, Rebichan says that Lekeach will not acquire this properties, because he would tell you, when our Mishnah tells us that the son sells, that the Lekeach does not get it until the father dies, but the inference is when the father does die, then the Lekeach gets it, that was only talking about if the son did not die while the father was still alive, where it ultimately after the death of the father comes to the son, and then from the son, then automatically goes to Lekech. But when the son dies while the father's still alive, where it never came to the hands of the son, when the father dies, the Lekech doesn't get it. Now, what do we see from that? Because Rabbi Yechanan obviously holds Kinyan Peiris, ki Kinya Guftami. The rights that a person has in the produce of an item is like the ownership of the item itself. Therefore, when the son sold it, he wasn't selling his own thing. Why? Because the Kinyan Peiris that the father still has, when he's still alive, it's like as if he owns the actual body, the product, the item itself. Meaning, although the son owns the land, but what is it significant? It doesn't mean anything on paper. It's nothing. Yeah, you own it, but you can't use it. The father gets all the utility. So it's like really the Kinyan Peiris, like the father owns the body itself. And therefore the son couldn't sell, only, obviously with the intention that when it ultimately will come to him. But since it ultimately didn't come to him because he died before his father died, so the Lekech's not going to be kind anything. Now, however, again, as we said before, if the son would not have sold it and he would not have removed himself from this, and then even if the son would have died when the father was still alive, when the father would die, the inheritors of the son would inherit because of the rights that the son had, because he ultimately gets it even though he's not alive, because that's because his rights are still there. But when he sells, he's out of the picture. And therefore, since the son didn't have anything, because the father's Kinyan Peiris is like the Kinyan Guf, therefore the Lekech doesn't get it. Whereas Rish Lakish Amar Kan Lekech. Rish Lakish says, however, that Lekech does acquire the property after the father's death. Because Kinyan Peiris, Lavka Kinyan Guf, I mean, he holds that the father's Kinyan in the Peiris is not like he owns the body itself. And therefore Rish Lakish would tell you that when our Mishnah said that when the son sells, the Lekech doesn't get it until the father passes away, but again, which sounds like when the father does pass away, then Lekech gets it. It doesn't make a difference if the son dies while the father's still alive. I mean, if he doesn't die while the father's still alive, where it comes to the ben. Or it doesn't make a difference even if the son dies when the father's still alive, where it doesn't come to him. Either way, the Lekech is going to be kind, as we said, because Kinyan Peiris, Lavka Kinyan Guftami, and therefore when the son sold it, the body, he was selling his own thing because he did own it, because the father's Kinyan Peiris is not like he owns it, and therefore the actual guf was owned by the son, and therefore he had what to sell, even though he died before the father ended up dying. So Lekech will ultimately get it. So that's their machlekes. Now that the Gemara asks, but v'fligu b'chol d'zimno, we already know this machlekes, Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, as we see that the crux of their machlekes is Kinyan Peiris, if it's Kinyan Guf Dami, we have that machlekes already elsewhere. Why are they having a new context to have the same machlekes? Didma, like we learned as follows. If someone sells his field only for the produce, meaning he still owns the property, but he's selling it to someone else to use it, basically, which is the peiris, utility, and the produce. So Rabbi Yechanan Amar Mevi Vikair. Rabbi Yechanan says that the one who owns it for the peiris purpose of it, when he gets the first fruits, he can bring those bikurim, which are the first fruits that you have to bring up to Yerushalayim, and recite the psukim of bikurim, which... The reason for this is because one of the words in the Pesukim over there in Devarim Chavav is Ha'adam Asher Nasati Li Hashem. You have to say that the land which Hashem has given to me. Well, this is the land Hashem has given to me. What land? You don't own the land, you own the peiris. Yes, but because Kinya Peiris Ki Kinya Guf. So you could say as if you own the body of the Hadamah. Whereas Rish Lakish Amar, maybe Ve'enikar. Rish Lakish says, no, you bring the Bikurim, but you don't recite the Parash of Bikurim because you cannot say Adam Asher Nasati because you don't have the Hadamah. The earth is owned by that guy. You just have the peiris. Now, as Rosh Pram, however, points out, but you still have to bring the Bikurim themselves. Because although it says, Asher Tavim Me'artzecha, that which you bring from your land, he does have rights in the land because the land is indebted to the nourishment of the peiris from the land. But just he can't say, Adam Asher Nasatali. So and that explains the Gemara. Rabbi Yechanan Amar Mevi Bikurim, he says that you bring the Bikurim and you recite the Parash Bikurim, because Ksavik in your peiris kikin the Guftam. He says that this guy's rights in the peiris is like he owns the land itself. So you can say, Adam Asher Nasatali. Rish Lakish Amar Mevi Ve'enikar says, no, you bring it, but you don't recite it, because Kinyan Peiris Lavka Kinyan Guf Dami, the rights of the Peiris is not like you own the body, so you can't say Adam Asher Nasat LeHashem. So we already know this Machlokes over here regarding Bikurim, which is the same idea of Kinyan Peiris of its Kinyan Guf. Why do we have to have it again regarding this halacha of the son with the father in the context of the halacha of our Mishnah, which is if the son dies before the father, and the father has the Kinyan Peiris, and the son has Kinyan Guf, if Lekech is going to get it, it's the same Machlokes. So on that says the Gemara, no, each one had to tell it to you in this context also. Because Amalek Rabbi Yechon would tell you Although you know already my opinion from elsewhere, that the rights and the produce is like the ownership of the body itself, it was necessary to say it in the context of our mission too. Why? Because you would have thought to say, a father regarding his son, he's Michael. He's forgiving for the actual body totally. So although he's leaving himself the rights for the payers, it's not that he should have that strength of ownership as it generally is the kinyan is kiginyan guftami. He just wants to, I just want to survive. My son, for you, you take everything. I wouldn't even want to eat from you. I just have to survive. So I'm leaving the payers to myself, but it's all yours. And therefore you would have thought to say that the father's kinyan payers here is compromised because he doesn't want to have infringe on his son's kinyan guf at all. Kamash Malam, that's what Bihna says. No, you have to say even over here that the father, although for his son he'll do anything, but his kinyan prayer still retains as if it's a kinyan guf, and that's why the lekeich will not acquire. Reb Shmuel Malkasham, he also says a chiddush the other way. Avgav the biyam kinyan prayer is lavki kinyan guf dami. You know, although you know my opinion from elsewhere, that the father, like in this context, which would be the father's ownership of the payers, is not like he owns the body. So therefore, why do I have to say over here that Lekeir is going to get it? Of course, the son owned the guf and he was able to sell it. No, here was necessary to say that the father's kinyan peres is not kinyan guf. Why? You would have thought to say, whenever it's about moi, whenever it's about the person himself, even when it's in regards to the son, we would say, his self is better. In other words, although generally kinyan peres is not kinyan guf, let's say when you're selling to someone else, the rights to the payers, no, you're only getting payers, not the guf. But when it's regards to the self, when he's holding on to the kinyan payers, we would say that then it would actually be like kinyan guf. Because for himself, he doesn't want just the payers, he wants it to have the authority and the power as if it's the guf itself, and he is the owner, so he could dictate that this I'm giving you the body, son, is a compromised body, because my kinyan payers is kinyan guf. Kamashulam, that's where Shlokesh had to tell you that here also, the father's kinyan payers is only kinyan payers, and it's not kinyan guf, and therefore the lekeach that bought it from the son, who died while the father's still alive, will have acquired it because the son did have the kinyan guf, because the father only had kinyan payers. Now, it's Rebbe Yochanan Shlokesh. Now, in this machlokes, which we have this global machlokes between them, of kinyan payers and kinyan guf, Rebbe Yochanan asked Rebbe Shlokesh from the following braisa. If someone said to someone, Nichsei Lach, that my properties are going to you, Vacharecha Yirish Pleni, after you're done, then that other person will inherit it. Vacharov, and after him, Yirish Pleni, that third person will inherit. Says the Braisa, Meis Rishon, so after the first person dies, Sakana Sheni, so the second person acquires it. Meis Sheni, when the second one dies after the first one, then Kana Shlishi, and the third person acquires it. But Meis Sheni B'chai Rishon, if the second person died while the first person was still alive, then Yachzur Nechasim L'Yersha Rishon. Then, when the first person dies, then it's actually going to go back that the inheritors of the first person will inherit it from his positioning. And the reason for this is because the third person only gets the rights to it from the strength of the second person. Because he didn't tell to the first person that my properties are going to you and afterwards to that person, and if that second person is not there, then give it to the third person. He didn't say that. He said after their words to the second, and after the second, then the third. But if there's no second after the first one, then it doesn't skip from one to three. Three has to come after two, and therefore, in that situation, when the first one dies, the inheritors of the first one will get it. So therefore, since the second one's not getting it, third one's not going to get it either. Rather, the yersh of the first one inherit these nechasim. Now, even though they were not acquired to the first person more than just the consumption of the payers as long as he lives, because what was the guy telling him? He said, after you, the body's going to go to that person. So he was not giving the first one the body, he was giving him just the utility as long as he's alive. Even so, the Bryce is telling us, since at the time when the first one dies, there's no acharecha, there's no and after you the second guy, because the second guy already died. Says the Braisa, in that case, the inheritors of the first one inherit the body and the payers. So therefore, Bihan asked Rosh Lakesh as follows. If you say kinyan payers is as significant as the kinyan haguf, so therefore you could say that, okay, it's going to go back to the inheritors of the first one, because since ultimately, at least, the payers were acquired to the first person, which is like the kinyan of the guf, because although that the one who sells his field for the payers, we say that, yes, of course, the one who's buying the payers does not acquire the body of the field itself, to say it, well, because what? Kenyan Paris is like Kenyan Guf. You don't say that. That's only because the guy who's selling it explicitly tells him, I'm only selling you the Paris and not the body itself. So it's almost like as if he's telling him, look, after this time when you're done with the Paris, then the body and the Paris will be mine. That's how it usually works. But over here, the one who's giving it away didn't leave anything for himself. He said, all he's giving actually is that the body should end up by the third person because that was the last person he spoke about. And the first two people, he says, okay, they get the Paris as long as they're alive. You pass it on to the last person. Now, since here, these two variables, first of all, the first person is getting the Kenya Paris, which Rabbi Yochanan is saying, really, Kenya Paris is like Kenya Goth. Moreover, the giver removed himself totally from the body from the Paris. So therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan, then you'd be able to understand Allah and the Bryce, so that it goes back to the narratives of the first person. But Ve'im Isa, but if it's true like you, that Kenya Paris is not like Kenya Gov, then for what reason should we say? We know it's not going to the third person, because he comes from the second person. The second person is already dead before the first person died. But why should it go back to the Yershi Harishan? It should go back Liyershi Naisen Mibayle. It should go back to the inheritors of the one who gave it. Because the first person only gave him was Paris. And now there's no Acharav who should receive it. Not for the body, not for the Paris. And therefore, it should go back to the one who gave it or to his inheritors. Why is it going back to the Yerush HaRishon? Obviously, it's because, like I say, because Kenya Paris or like Kenya Gov, and therefore, he does have some rights to the Gov, and therefore, when there's no third person, then he'll get it. Amaleah, that Rish Lakish responded, he says, Kivar Tirgimah Rav Hoysha Bebavel. Rav Hoysha already interpreted and explained this Bryce in Bavel, that Acharecha Shani. This Bryce, when he says, and after you, that's different. Because that sounds like that actually the body and the payers he did give to the first person. Because he explicitly said that after you, that second person should inherit it. Now, that second person is not here to inherit it. So therefore it remains in the hands of the inheritors of the first person. Because it's like he's telling him, as long as you're alive, everything is yours. Meaning, not just the payers, the body too. All he's saying is, but whatever's left over, whatever you don't end up using up, so that will go after you to that other person. But as actually the Gemara will tell us later on, the next Daf, if the first person wanted to, he could sell not only the Paris, he could sell the body too. So you see, he has ownership rights in the body too, and therefore says, look, it's not difficult. Yes, this case is not that the first one's getting just Paris, it's like he's getting Guf, and that's why it's going to go back to the Yerusha Rishon. But you're right, if all he had was the Paris, it would not go back to him, it would go back to the giver or to the giver's inheritors. And says the Gemara, V'chein Rami, Rabba Barav Huna, Kamei the Rav. So too, Rabba Barav Huna had posed this as a contradiction in front of Rav. V'aman, he said, Acharecha Shani. That when you say, and after you, that's different because that's not just giving the payers to the first person and to the second person and then only the guf to the third person. It's like he's telling the first person, you get everything. It's just whatever you don't use up, even in the guf, that will go to the second and after him to the third person. But since he has really the guf, therefore, when there's no second person, the third one does not get it and it goes back, L'Yer Sharishan.